Well, I suppose I can already start as the room is already full. So sorry for the delay in the beginning. I had to wait until it's like 12 o'clock. Apologies for using PowerPoint. I had to please my boss in order to make him pay, so I had to use this. Yeah, we're going to talk about Apache security, and I'm going to focus on the way Apache works internally and the way you can attack it through the modules and through the applications running on top of Apache. So I thought of the following agenda. We're first going to talk, we have a little prefix, and then we're going to talk about the Apache in general, which is probably known a known fact to your, all of you, but I'm going to briefly talk about it. And afterwards, we're going to talk about the basic principles of Apache security before we come to the actually configuration analysis. Go to advanced Apache security, which does involve intrusion detection systems on top of Apache, for instance, or a module that can actually monitor the input of scripts and deny requests that are not confirmed with the definition you made. Well, the demonstration part, I probably have to skip that one because we might run out of time. We will see later on. But I'm freely available later on for demonstration purposes or if you want to have a quick word. Of course, we're going to have a summary. We're going to have some references, and I suppose we should start. Well, there's some facts about myself. I'm obviously working at Ernst & Young for 2 years, no more than 3 years now. I'm a student at the University of Cooperative Education in Stuttgart, here in Germany, and I'm also the author of 2 books for Edison and Wesley, and I help people writing books for O'Reilly, so I should know this stuff, hopefully. Well, the thing is, is there really a need for Apache security? There are very famous or very funny examples, actually. The question really is, what are those guys using? And for some reason, they are both using Apache, and they both got hacked. So this is obviously SEO. We own all of your code. Probably they do. And very funny is also the CCC example. So even if you have a web server that might be outdated, you do not use it anymore, it still can get hacked. And this hack was actually very nicely documented. Okay, so we go on to the Apache and we ask ourselves what it is actually. It's a product that was originally developed by a guy called Rob McCool. His name was really Rob McCool, so that's no joke. Like, and he decided to develop the software in April 1995 at the University of Illinois. And for some reason he said, well, look, I'm not interested anymore in the software. And he gave it kind of to the community, and the people started to develop the software further, develop patches. And actually the software is not called Apache because it's an Apache server. It has to do with an Indian tribe, but people still argue about that one. Anyway, what we got here is a very flexible, modular, and powerful configurable web server that is probably the best or widespread tool of the open source community. It runs on about 68-70% of all web servers, making it the number one choice since 1996. That is quite a good result for an open source tool, especially when you consider that people do develop this stuff, of course, in their spare time. Well, currently we have actually three different branches. 1.3, which is pretty widespread, but it has been replaced by version 2, actually 2.0 and 2.1 recently. And my books were only about the Apache 2, and people say, well, look, we have Apache 1, so why should we use Apache 2? Apache 1 works fine, but if you consider the features that Apache 2 gives you and the ability, for instance, and I will come to that later on, or actually it's on the slide already, for instance, you can choose the runtime model Apache should use. For instance, in Apache 1.3, the usual behavior was to start the process and fork a child and then let the child handle all the requests. But this is process-based. But you can also have like thread-based runtime modules and several other modules, even hybrid modules in Apache 2. So you can choose the way Apache should run internally, which is the best for your operating system. That might vary on various operating systems. Then you can have multi-support multi-protocol support. That means that, for instance, the Apache can handle POP3 or Telnet or whatever. It just depends on what you implement, actually. Or you can use IPv6, or which is probably the best thing, is input and output filtering. It means that you can filter the stuff that comes to your web server or that leaves the web server. For instance, you could write a program in Perl and dynamically convert output from, let's say, HTML to PDF on the fly. And that is now built into the Apache and is natively supported. In the past, of course, there have been vulnerabilities. Well, as probably in any kind of software, some of them were quite severe, but due to its design, as the process is never running as root, there hasn't been a single root vulnerability in Apache. However, some of the vulnerabilities were actually only in Apache 2 because they rewrote the entire engine. And you can read it yourself. Some of them were quite quite severe, but I don't think that you can actually. Well, people might get hacked through those exploits, but I will show later on techniques to prevent people from doing that. Okay, well, we come to a very, very basic part of Apache security, which is host security. In any installation, not only in an Apache installation, you have to ensure that the system is basically secured. I mean, you have to configure that the entire thing of the basic thing of security. So what you do is basically remove functionality that you do not need, like scripts or services, and ensure that you do install the latest patches and products available, as if you do not, you might expose yourself to a vulnerability that might be used to start an attack against yourself. Basically, beside that, you should, of course, it's just the usual stuff. You should restrict services, disable services, use strong encryption, strong passwords, policies, remove default accounts, use IDSs, all these kind of stuff, apply OS hardening procedures, all this usual stuff. And now Apache provides quite a number of security-related directives that I'm just going to talk about. Well, the first thing, which is very important, is the so-called user and group directive. This actually defines the user and the group Apache should run as. In fact, you cannot run it as root anymore. I do believe they put some option to the makefile. So if you want to do that, you have to modify it, I suppose. Which is a really good thing, because if Apache runs as root, it always runs as root, but then it switches to the user defined here. And so if you define root, it will run as root. So this is not really a good idea to do. And obviously we got allow override, which people do believe is only it's used for .htaccess files. But those files do not only handle like logins and stuff, but you can also put your own configuration directives into that file. And we will see later on how those files can be used to circumvent the Apache security. I have an example from a major German financial institution that obviously basically they broke their own Apache security by introducing those stuff. Then we got some various limit directives that are basically used just to limit, for instance, the length of the UL somebody can send, or the length of the fields in the header and this kind of stuff. Yeah, as I said already, you can limit the length of the request. You can also, which is very important, you can define using the listen directive on which interface and which IP address the Apache should listen on. And this is very important because sometimes I've seen people not defining this directive, and then they were wondering why the Apache is running on any interface. And even in a DMZ, this might not be a behavior you want to have, maybe. And beside that, which is very important also, is the options directive, as this defines basically the features that are available in a certain directory. And we see later on how this can be used by an attacker, for instance, to get directory listings. Then we got the order directive, which basically defines how how the so-called allow and deny statements are evaluated. We will see that later on as well. Okay. Yeah, well, this is the last slide concerning the Apache security-related directives. We got the proxy directive, which is used for creating a proxy container. You should be very careful with that. If you do not secure your web server and run it as a proxy, people might use it for sending spam messages or just arbitrary usage of your web server or of your proxy. And then you got very important also the server tokens directive, which is which was introduced recently, and it defines basically the server service response in the header. So it will basically define it the way Apache will look like to the outside world in its header. Then you got the server signature, which basically defines whether Apache should contain or should add an error message containing either the email address of the admin or no information or the entire product number, including its version number, to any error page. Then you got SSL engine, which obviously defines enables the SSL engine. You got user dir, which enables you to give your users the ability to publish stuff on your website, example.com slash whatever username you want to use or whatever prefix you want to use. But this can also be used to walk the entire file system if used wrongly. Then you can use digest authentication, which basically is the way to do HTTP authentication these days, because basic authentication uses non encrypted stuff to perform the actual authentication. Okay, then the do's and don'ts of HTTP.conf. Maybe a quick walkthrough. The user and group directive is very simple actually on Unix. You just create a separate user, a separate group, put that user into the group, prevent the user from logging in by assigning him an invalid shell like bin false or something, and you can also set the home directory to def null. That's no problem, and this is a very secure way of preventing people from logging in. On Windows 2003 server, it actually took me some time to figure it out. This is not as simple. On Windows 2003, in Windows in general, there's no user and no group directive, so you can't use it. There are other ways to configure the Apache on those operating systems. What you have to do is, I hope the people can read it in the back, what you have to do is you have to install the Apache in a separate directory, like for instance C :// Apache 2 or Apache, and then obviously assign a strong password. It's always a good thing to do. And what you do is you create a new group and add the user you just added to this group. And you have to ensure that the user and the group that you edit are not able to use stuff like terminal services, connect client drives, printers, just grant access to or do not grant access to the system remotely or even locally. And then you have to ensure that you actually start the Apache at that as at the user. Yeah. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than on Unix, but I'm sure you will work it out and. If you have more questions, then you can surely contact me. Okay. The thing about the file and directory permissions are a little bit awkward. What you should do is install the Apache as root. Then you can chmod it to 6.0.0. This is a good thing to do actually, and for the config files and for the binary 5.0.0 is enough. Although I'm not too sure about the permissions, because if somebody breaks into your system and let's say he or she gains access to the operating system via an Apache exploit, and then he's not going to get he's not going to modify the Apache properly, he's going to use some local root exploit to become root, and then he's not caring about the Apache anymore. Maybe he will deface the website, but that is something you cannot prevent if somebody's root anyway. So what you can do is on Windows 2003, you can only grant all permissions like full control, modify, read, execute, and stuff on the installation folder of the Apache to the administrator, because he can obviously change it again if you do not allow this to him. And the new user ID that you just created that will be used to run the Apache. And of course, you should remove all other permissions and even permissions from parent directories from that folder. Well, another thing to do is actually, of course, lock everything. This is a very simple sentence, actually, a very simple statement. But you should be well aware of the fact that the only thing where you can find information about what happened to your server is probably in the log file. So if you want to be secure, ensure that the log files are transferred to like a third-party host. But what you can also do is a very interesting module. It's called Mod Log Forensic. What will do it, like, it will create like a checksum over the request that came in, and then the request will be handled, and afterwards it will create the checksum again. And if they do not match, then you will know that there's something funky going on, because, for instance, the request was used to exploit the web server. So this is a module to which is worth checking out. So take a look at it. It's shipped with Apache 2. I'm not quite sure about Apache 1. So what our common techniques are: HTTP fingerprinting. It's quite similar to what people would do for TCP IP. And what you can do is you can prevent people from doing that by setting server signature to off, which will prevent the Apache from displaying a signature in server-generated error messages. You can set the server tokens to prot, which means product only. That will only display Apache. But what you can also do is you can just modify the source code. It should also work that you use mod headers to send a customized server header. But I've seen that in recent versions this does not really work as it should. But I hope this will be fixed. And I'm going to show later on a module called Mod Security, which is basically an IDS on top of the Apache. And this module enables you to set the server header in a way you want it to be. Then, of course, regarding symbolic links, you should disable them, because they will give attackers the ability, when they have local access, to walk the entire file system, or if you make a mistake, it will enable them too. What you should do, if you need them, then make sure that you use a directive called symlinks if owner match. That is pretty pretty obvious. What you do, what this means is basically that if you have a link, then you have to ensure that the link of the target file is owned by the same user as the link. And yeah, well, this is sometimes not the case, but it will increase the security a lot. Additionally, of course, we want disable indexing, because you might find yourself through Google, which is not very good. I mean, you should by default set the options directive to none or minus indexes, because you do not need indexing. I mean, there's no need for people seeing the contents of an entire folder. There's no need for that. You give away information. Do not do that. It's information leakage, and you do not want the people to find out what's in your directories. And you will find that actually many websites are vulnerable to that. It's not really vulnerability, but in a way it's giving away information, and that's something you shouldn't do, and you should disable that, because it's enabled by default. Then, yeah, well, I'm not using server-side includes. I do believe there are better technologies like PHP, although they are very hard to secure. What you should do if you use that one, you should disable includes no exec, which means that you cannot execute commands in server-side include. This is basic stuff. It's also available in the Apache documents. And, well, my recommendation is do not use server-side includes, because they are fucked up. So, okay. Well, they really are, like. Okay, then we have htpasswd and htaccess files. By default, what you should do is, of course, and I've seen people disabling that, and I can't understand why they disable it, because you will find those files through Google or whatever search engine you use. So you should deny any access to a file that starts with .ht or even to any .dot file. Yeah, as I said, it's default configuration, but for some reason people tend to disable this functionality because they think maybe this is useless. We will see later on that this is very powerful and this should not be disabled. Yeah, as I said already, in those people said, well, look, I have to password protect a directory. So they start to create their own HTTPassVD file and their own HTTPXS, and they know thing that this is the only thing they can do with those files. Those files are much more powerful than just being able to define usernames and passwords that are allowed to log into a certain website. Those files can be used to override any, if this allow override is set correctly, those files are allowed to override any setting of the web server, which is really dangerous because a normal user can circumvent any security mechanism implemented by the administrator. And I'm going to have this famous example of this famous large financial German institution that do, again, use this stuff to circumvent their own security. And now some stuff as well. Do remove any default content. You do not want people to find a default script of SUSE 7.3 using Google because you don't need this stuff, and there's no reason for this to still be on a web server when it goes live. This does include stuff like the manual. If you find a web server and it has a manual, you might think, or it's pretty obvious, that those people do not know what they're actually doing. They still leave their manual there, and you will be sure that you actually find a bloody configured web server there, and that might be a good target. Anyway, you should also disable a module that you do not use. Do read the documentation of the Apache, and do think about it for a second and do decide whether you need a module or not. It will, on one hand, enhance the speed of your web server when you do disable modules that you do not use. On the other hand, it will also increase the security of your web server, because vulnerabilities that are in modules that you do not use, you are not affected by them, which is very important. And I've created a list of modules that you might not use and that might be candidates for removing them. This does include stuff like mod status. I mean, I don't want to, okay, maybe some people want to have status of the web servers, but there are other ways to monitor it, maybe from the outside. Maybe there are companies or even free services that do provide service monitoring, so you do not need the Apache and do not give this information away. You can disable stuff like mock proxy, because I've seen many people that for some reason did not understand the documentation and for some reason create an open relay through their proxy server. This is not something you want to use. For instance, mod security can prevent people from doing that, but disable the functionality if you do not want it, and then everything is okay. Do not use stuff like mod include. As I said, if you don't need it, disable it. Or do you really want to have user-defined home directories that are exposed to the web? For instance, what if somebody has their example.com/Sebastian directory installed a PHP script, which is like a file explorer, and this can be used to traverse the file system even if the user may not have a shell access or whatever, or he starts a shell or whatever. This is too dangerous, and I wouldn't use it if you don't need it. What's the function of a module called mod out anon? Which is, what's the use in a module which will give you anonymous authentication? I mean, there's no authentication anyway. If I can use my name at example.com as the authentication credentials, there's something really going on, something really bad. And yeah, if you want to, you can also use 2xec. This is a feasible way to go. You can use it for executing CGI and SSI programs under a different user ID that is used to execute the web server. It's always a good idea, but I don't use SSI at all, so you might want to use it. I don't. We come to the default configuration of the Apache, and I do believe that more than 80% of all the administrators use the default config. Maybe make a quick poll. Who's using the default conf? Hands up. Hands up, guys. Here, come on. Okay, you over there. Come on. Okay, this is only one not lying, okay? Okay. sorry. For some reason, I do believe that this is really the default configuration. Okay, you might add, okay, where we say, let's say 95% of the default configuration plus your 5 lines for the virtual host, okay? Okay, if you consider this not a default configuration, okay, I agree with the hundreds here, okay? Anyway, the configuration file itself is more or less okay. So, well, you got yourself out of trouble anyway. But what you should do is just define an interface and IP address the Apache should run it. This basic stuff. Just run, it's true for any daemon, run the daemon on the interface you want it to listen on and nothing else. That's a simple reason. And of course, define a user and a group Apache should run as. For instance, in I think it's SUSE, I'm not using it, but I think this is the way they use it. They have, for instance, the group no group and nobody as a user. And this user is not only used for executing the Apache, but also stuff like Squid. I mean, this is like nonsense because you should have a user for every service you run, and it's a separate user that is used for nothing else. This is basic security. So do create separate users, do create separate groups as I've shown before, and you're on a safe side more or less. As I said already, remove this default stuff. What's the reason for having your SUSE database on your own system and being able to search it and make people search it through Google? And there have been vulnerabilities in that script as well that allowed you to read etc passvd. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you get hacked through default content, I'm going to pay you champagne or whatever. Yeah, but you're going to be fucked anyway. Okay, then restrict access to the local system. I mean, this is basic stuff. If people create some links that will allow them to walk the entire file system, something is really wrong on the system. And of course, do reduce the amount of information you give away. Again, this is basic security. Do not give people information that they might use. And even if you have PHP, sometimes people ask me, as I said before, I'm working also as a pen tester, and they ask me, hey, why is information leakage, or why is it important that we do not give away like the local path our script is installed to? Well, I might be able to circumvent any security regulation later on, and so I know I have to go 5 directories up to be on top of the file system, and then I know I go only to etc, and I might be able to display the password file if a badly written PHP script exists. So this is all information leakage, and it will give people the ability to fingerprint your web server. Not only the level of your own skills when it comes to Apache configuration and security, but also to your entire system. And you do not have to give this information away, so don't do it. Okay, this is the default configuration. I just put some stuff on the slides that you can use. Again, just use the listen directive to define the interface, the user with the user directive, and the group directive for the group. And obviously, this here is the access, how it is defined by default. The directory slash means actually the slash of the directory. Of the file system. So this is access to the root of your own file system. Okay, and you certainly don't want to enable this. And by default, it's not very restrictive because here they say allow override none, which is very good because they do not allow people to use htaccess file to change that. But they say here options follow symlinks. So this means that people can use symlinks to access the entire root of the file system and even any subdirectory. So this is very bad. Okay. So what you do is options none, so no options at all for that directory. It's forbidden. It's totally forbidden. And this also includes allow override, so people can't use htaccess files. And furthermore, you even use an order statement to deny any access to that directory. So even if people can, by using arbitrary commands and PHP scripts, are able to jump the directory up to a root of the file system, they're not allowed to access it. Okay? Then obviously, as I said already, you don't want to find yourself in Google. And if people search for index off and this kind of stuff, you don't want to find yourself through Google, at least not your indexes. And if you haven't enabled indexing and have a backup directory and somebody searches for index off backup, somebody might find it. So by default, indexes are enabled, as I said already. Symlinks are enabled as well for the htdocs directory, which is the document root of the web server. So by default, just disable all the options. And if you really need this indexing and stuff, re-enable it for other directories. And again, here we can use the order statement, but as we want to publish some stuff on the net, we do not have deny allow, but allow comma deny. Otherwise, we would not be able to publish stuff on the web. Okay. Yeah. If you do not want to want users to be able to publish their own stuff on the web under your own website, disable much user deal, which is always a very good thing. By default, the server tokens and the server signature are both switched on and extended to the maximum, which means full here. So Apache will say, "Hi, I'm Apache 2.0.52 module PHP whatever SSL whatever any module you use," and this is very bad. You don't want to do that. You want to set it to product only, which is server tokens prod, or you can even it will display itself as Apache then, or you can even modify the source code, as I said here. Mod Harris is a thing to do, but this seems to be buggy. But you can also define it on your own in the web server. Just search the source code of the Apache for the current version that you use, for instance 2.0.52, and then just replace it with whatever you want to have. It's very simple. And as I said already, we will see later on how you can use mod security to set the banner as well. Okay, yeah, again, remove default stuff. If you do not want to have like icons and manual stuff, just remove it. I don't use it. Okay, what you can do is place stuff like favicon.ico, because the Internet Explorer keeps on trying to find that file. Well, this is only one icon, and you don't need the entire directory. This is true for the manual as well. Okay, well, typical configuration mistakes, very simple. People do not or tend not to keep up to date. If there's a new version of Apache, ensure that you read the announcements and that you read what the new version is all about. There might be security vulnerabilities included into that file that you might be affected, you might not, maybe you have disabled the module, but just read the stuff. And for instance, if there's a local vulnerability and you're the only user on the system and you're quite sure that nobody else will, for instance, use a buffer overflow in an environment and variable to cause an overflow in the Apache, then you might be on the secure side, although updating to the last version available is always very good. Then do use privilege separation. As I said before, for instance, two uses the same user for executing several daemons. I don't believe this is good security. Do restrict everything and do separate everything that is available, and that should be okay. Well, the thing is, this is a very simple sentence again. Insecure use of third-party modules, for instance, PHP. We have seen that PHP can be used to attack an entire web server and deface the website. That's what the current worms just did. And I showed yesterday Chris and Pillar and myself's presentation, Honeypot Forensic, that we found a PHP script that was used to upload an IRC bot to a system, and so basically PHP and all these other modules that will give you easy to script functionality to the Apache are very 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 dangerous and evil. From an administrator point of view, you know, very often I don't blame PHP for that, because very often there are ways to secure it, and very often people that start to program for the very first time or not very experienced users, they start to write PHP scripts, and then for some reason they do not validate input, and for some reason they get exploited. This is not really an Apache problem, but you will be affected by that, and you can put your entire system security at stake when you do not secure those scripts. So even if in an ISP environment where you do not have control over your customers and say to them, "Well, look, you bloody PHP programmer, you just programmed shit, and our web server was exploited and defaced, and we got all the hassle now," and this is something you can't do. They pay for you. They pay for a new car. And for some reason you can't blame them. You have to say, "Well, look, you're the customer, you're the best. Sorry, we got defaced." So you have to ensure that the stuff is secure. And even if you know that the user's program not very experienced, not very skilled source code and programs, you have to ensure that your web server is secure, or at least you have to try your very best. Then, okay, if I see open proxies, somebody's going to get beaten up. Because, I mean, open proxies through the Apache is something people that you should not do. I mean, it's so easy to secure. And if you have, if you, people wonder, hey, how is it possible to send email messages through an Apache? Well, this is possible. There's the connect method, which will enable you to connect to other services than just HTTP. So you send your email messages, and there's your spam. So do not support this and disable it. And of course, as I said already, third-party software vulnerabilities are not always always a fault of Apache, but you can do something to actually secure this as well. Okay, here are some real-life configuration examples. This is the large financial institution, which I'm not going to mention, but they, for some reason, gave me their configuration file. I removed stuff that would identify them, probably, hopefully. Okay, what are they doing here? Probably the people in the back can't see it. Okay, what's the story with the first thing? It's funny. They have a directory called /user/local/server/docs, and they define that options are follow siblings, which I said is a very big thing already. But then they say allow override all. Okay, game over. All means that you're able to modify any configuration setting of the Apache using a local .htaccess file. This is something I don't want to do, I suppose. Okay, and this is very, the second example is very, very funny as well. They've got a directory called /docs/cms, so probably it's a CMS. And they say, look, we are really cool because we want to have more or equal to 128 encryption here, so we want to have strong SSL. Hey, well, you're really cool, guys. But then again, they allow override all, which means that I can disable it SSL entirely. Sorry. And here is the same. They say, look, for the very cool newsletter function, they want to enable all SSL encryption. But again, they define allow override all, and again, you can just simply disable SSL, and you can, for instance, just... Yeah, well, you can modify any setting on the web server, even as a normal local user. Well, then we come to a very interesting point, which is actually the first of advanced Apache security, chrooting the Apache. I'm not going to read that out. Read it yourself. I think it's big enough. But what it does basically is it defines a new root directory for a process. And this can be the Apache, this can be any other servers. It is available on BSDs and even advanced functionality with the jails. It's a very good security mechanism, and it's usually, because it's usually quite, it can be quite difficult to break out of a chroot environment, especially if there are no files that are SUID, and if you do have it on a separate partition, and you ensure that the partition is mounted no SUID, for instance, and then you put the user into that chroot environment. There are even still ways to break out, but then it's very difficult. As I said already, the setup of a jail or chroot environment is quite complex, and I have a file on my web server that I'm going to give you the link later on, which will give you an example of how to chroot Apache 2 on Solaris 8 and 9. I have examples for Linux as well, and as I said already, I wrote a book for O'Reilly on Apache, and this does include how to chroot the PHP, the Apache, and there's going to be a book called Apache Security, which will be released very soon in O'Reilly publishing house, and this does even include information on how to chroot the Apache. Just some basic steps, what you got to do. I don't want to display the text file here for every keystroke you have to do. It's on my website, wolfgarten.com/ccc. It's on Security Focus. You will find it through Google. There are many ways to do it. It's a very good task, actually. You can do it with named D as well, and probably any daemon, or more or less any daemon. Some support it natively, so you don't have to do that. There are actually even easier ways through mod security to set up a chroot environment, which I'm going to show later on. What you have to do, firstly, download the Apache and install it to the local file system, and afterwards create a basic environment that will reflect all the files, all the settings that the Apache is going to use through its setup, through its start, and through its running state. Then what you got to do is use stuff like LDD, struts, strays, and stuff to basically find out what file the Apache needs, and then copy those files again to the CHroot environment. And optionally, of course, as I said already, it's a good thing actually to install the Apache on a separate CHroot Apache on a separate partition, and mount the partition with no SUID to disable all SUID and SGID files. So if somebody attacks the Apache, comes through for some reason, is kept in the CHroot environment, if there are SUID files disabled, somebody's going to have a very hard time to exploit that one. You might be able to go through the kernel, but that is very sophisticated stuff. And if this happens, well, bad luck. Basically, you have to modify Apache start script, because they will be upset if you try to start the Apache. You have to modify it, and then they will be happily running in a CHroot environment. Okay, we go on to a very interesting module. Actually, you can all read it. It's modPalmGuard, and modPalmGuard will enable you to define what normal, in inverted commas, requests and parameters should look like. And if parameters and requests do not look like what you defined them to be, it's going to get denied. It's very interesting. It's pretty much beta stuff, but I'm sure that it's going to get developed further, because it's really good. It uses an XML file for its configuration. And I hope you read all this. Even the slides are available on the CCC website, on my website, so you can read it later on. We got a simple example here. It's a normal HTML file. We got a form action which actually would execute a file called input PHP. We got two parameters here. We got a name which should be the size of 10, and the size for age should be two text characters, and then we got a salutation which should be Miss or Mr., and that's it. So we want people to choose here Mr. or Mrs., or give their name, maybe their username, in 10 characters only, and their age. And of course, people might ask how to circumvent that. Use stuff like Achilles. Achilles and PenProxy are proxies that you can use to point your own web browser to them. And then they will be used to circumvent any client-side restrictions, as this will be executed on the client, to inject your whatever SQL injection or whatever you want to use. So now we come to the configuration file of modPalmGuard. It's an XML file. This is only the excerpt of the file. It's not the entire file, but here we say we want to match a file called input.php, which is the script that we just defined on the previous slide. We want to monitor a parameter called name, and we want it to be a string of 10 characters at maximum, and it should only contain small A to Z or capital A to Z, and that's it. So we can be very precisely define what kind of parameters and what kind of input we do want for our Apache. And if this does not meet our requirements, we still can deny the request. The same with age. We say age should be from 10, an integer from 10 to 99, and that's it. So if somebody puts in -1 to trick our program, it's going to get denied. And then the salutation here is quite interesting. It says, first of all, multiple is 0, which means that you cannot select Mr. and Mrs. at one time. So you can either choose Mr. or Mrs. And then we want the options to be Mr. and Mrs. and that's it. So if you put anything else in there, it's not going to work. This is very good. Okay, and then we come to a very good thing. I've used it myself. It's quite good. It's mod-DOS evasive. It's read it yourself. It's a module used for fighting against denial of service, distributed denial of service attacks. Obviously, this is not the only thing you can and must do to prevent yourself from being denial of service. But this is a good start. It actually contains a script which can be used to test the settings of your web server, and you can even tune your web server to handle more requests. Everybody read that? Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, well, as I said, you can read it in the web as well, and we don't have much time, so we go on. Okay, actually, we have here a module that uses, or that actually creates a table of IP addresses that are currently sending requests to the web server. And if one of those IP addresses creates more requests than it should in a certain amount of time, then this is going to get denied. And they get put on a temporary blacklist, and after a certain while, they get removed from that blacklist. It's quite good, and if you use various other techniques, there's even an RFC on how to prevent denial of service attacks, and like IP forbid IP spoofing, use traffic shaping, basically. Contact your provider to help you, because they're not going to be the person that is able to prevent SOS attacks. There's a question, or?
Yeah. Do I have a problem with search spiders from Google or something like that if I have a blacklist?
Okay. Okay, for all, the question was whether you will have any problems when you use DOS evasive at the same time web spiders hitting you. To my experience, this is not the case, as somebody must do, like, let's say, 50 requests in 1 second, or even more. And this is not a behavior I did see so far from any search spider. So you're gonna be on the safe side. You can even increase it if you say 50 are not enough. We're gonna set it to 100, and then you're safe. But as I said, I've tried it, and it perfectly works. And I haven't seen any problems with that module so far. So to me, it looks okay, and I do believe that this works. But I don't have definite numbers or something. Sorry. There's another question.
How do you prevent regular users from being excluded automatically by any other user who spoofs in GCRP?
Well, you don't. The thing is, if you do it, as I said here, the module is very simple. It's no doubt about it. The module is simple. Okay, it can say, well, look, we got this and this IP address attacking us. I blacklist this IP address, and that's it. If you do have a provider that will help you to or your firewall even to not accept IP spoofing, then you're going to be safe, or more or less safe, let's say. The module is not able to do that. The module says, I have 50 requests within the last second from one IP address. I'm going to blacklist it. That's it. It's very simple, but it's quite effective. Sorry. The question was, what about proxies? Well, the thing is, so far the module is in a beta state. So personally, I did not use it in a proxy environment so far. So I don't know what the story is. To be honest, I don't know. I haven't seen it in a proxy environment. It should work. You might have to increase the number of requests that are allowed. Try it out. You can drop me a line. I don't know, to be honest. Sorry. Okay, and we come probably to one of the most exciting parts of this presentation, I hope so. This is actually called Mod Security. It's a module that was developed by Ivan Ristich. Ivan Ristich is the guy who wrote the book Apache Security, which is going to get released very soon by O'Reilly's. And I was the reviewer of the book. It's really good. And, well, read it yourself. It's basically an intrusion detection and prevention system for the Apache, which is built into the web server as a module. And it even supports snort rules and various other type of stuff that will help you to prevent yourself from being exploited with known and even unknown attacks. It can be used basically to do basic request filtering, to do anti-evasion. So, for instance, if people use hex code or Unicode code to obfuscate their attacks, it's gonna get caught by mod security, because it does canalize the request. You can even analyze post requests, which is very important, because Apache natively is not really able to analyze post requests. And with that module, you're able to do that. And additionally, you can have very, very good logging, which is really good, as I said. And you can have built-in chroot, and that is really probably the best feature. Unfortunately, this does not work for virtual hosts. And I have had several phone calls and emails with Ivan begging him to do this for virtual hosts. I do believe that I can to make him do this next year, hopefully. I suppose I gotta buy him some beers and then he will do that. It's very cool, actually, because without needing to create a separate environment on your system, which means that you do not have to use LDD, you do not have to create a fake CHroot environment, which does include that you LDD every binary, you copy everything into a certain directory and stuff. This function can be used in runtime, which means that the Apache can be installed just natively as it would normally, in a normal operation, but then you can just, by using one configuration directive, you can make it chroot. This is very cool stuff, actually. And, of course, you can filter HTTPS stuff, which is also very important, because HTTPS, it's not going to get caught by many IDSs like Snort, because it's encrypted. It depends on the setup, but usually it's not core, and here you're able to do that. Some basic rules. I hope the people in the back, again, can see that. It's a sec filter. And you, for instance, if you want to prevent people from accessing your ATC passvd, you can simply define a filter called secfilter ATC passvd. And even if people use vulnerable PHP files to go up directories to your root and then go to ATC passvd, this is going to get denied. And even if they, for instance, add null bytes to the string or do other various techniques to obfuscate the string, mod security is going to get that one. And for instance, if you do not want people to execute bitls, for instance, to listing the content of a directory, this is also possible. But again, of course, there are other ways to get the content of the directory. For instance, if you do echo star, you will also get the directory. Well, you got a very precisely define your rule set here. This is not something that will work out of the box. You have to know the possible attack that might be hit your web server. And modsecurity.org, which is also the website for the project, does include a version for Windows, for Java, and of course for the Apache. And they do have simple and sample rules and good documentation. But you have to fine tune that software. It's not something that will work out of the box. Then we can, for instance, prevent people from doing ordinary directory traversal using dot dot slash and stuff. This is very basic. Just take a look at the rules. Or you can even prevent people from doing cross-site scripting by inserting script tags to your website. And even if you do stuff like Unicode encoding or hex encoding of parts of the script tag, mod security is going to get that one as well. So, well, they're not on the safe side when it comes to cross-site scripting, but you are not really that vulnerable that you were before. Obviously, you can also prevent people from doing a SQL injection, as you can define the command that would be used to perform normal SQL injection. I'm going to have the next slide. On the next slide, there's going to be an example on how to do that for Microsoft SQL Server. But this is something that you really should do, because SQL injection is usually an attack which is quite common, which has the advantage of usually being able to go through firewalls, because obviously your web application has to talk to a server which usually sits in the back somewhere, maybe even on your entire LAN. So you are able to execute commands on the internal network through the web. And well, as I said, what you can do is, before we come to the first thing, for instance, MySQL, Microsoft SQL is very dangerous when it comes to non-standard SQL command they do support. This is non-standard stuff. For instance, Oracle has other ones. Oracle, for instance, enables you to connect to other databases remotely from the same database. So, for instance, let's say you come from the web through the firewalls and stuff, through a web server, do your SQL injection. That SQL injection will be sent to the database server, and from there you can connect to another internal Oracle server. This is very malicious stuff, but you can do that. And here is some Microsoft SQL specific SQL commands that you can actually prevent people. For instance, the fourth one is very interesting. It's secfilter cpcmd shell. Well, if you're able to do that command, you basically own the box. And this is very, very serious stuff. Imagine you go through a firewall, all the stuff that is able or that is there in a corporate environment to prevent people from attacking a website will be useless, because you're able to hold on a second. You will be able to execute malicious functions on the web server. Of course, there are ways recently to not let the SQL Server run as a admin as a privileged system user. But I've seen people using that, and I've seen people being exploited. Your question?
Do you have any experience with performance
with non-security? Yes. Yeah. Well, obviously, there's always a downside. You know, nothing is perfect, and obviously, that's the case. It hardly depends on the number of rules you've set. If you have, like, 10,000 rules, it's going to take a time. But the good thing is that you can basically, and I didn't show it so far, but what you can do is you can use selective filtering. We have an example here. This is quite good as it takes a longer time to evaluate those filters, but they're only used for certain parts. For instance, this one here, sec filter selective output, which is a variable for any output that is sent to the user, contains fatal error, it's going to get denied status 500. That will, for instance, is very good. It's an example from modsecurity.org. And for instance, if you cause an error in any PHP script, it's going to contain fatal error. And you're gonna what you do here is you before the user get this string, for instance, cannot connect to MySQL database or invalid function in script in that directory, it's gonna be denied. Or this one here, I check for a very specific variable called recipient whether the email address is at de.ey.com. And so if this is not the case, it's going to get denied. Sorry, guys, I have to go on because we only have a couple of minutes left. It does. You can ask me later on in the bar or somewhere else. It does support a very good level of logging. It does support a very good level of debugging. You can dynamically log requests. And you can also, which I will show here, I suppose, yes. You can also, which is probably the best part. The first thing, as I said, for instance, use ModSecurity to dynamically set chroot environment without having the hassle of installing an entire chroot environment. Create your own sec server of your own web server. Okay. Create your own web server signature there. Make it Microsoft IIS. Make it whatever you want to have. Very good thing that came out recently is the ability to scan stuff. So it does support wire scanners now, even for uploaded stuff. Can maybe turn it off because people probably can't see it now. You can say, for instance, if a file has been uploaded, then you can firstly scan it with a virus scanner before you actually use it. It's quite good. And the best thing is actually this one here. If you have a keyword, let's say binls or whatever, etc passwordy, you can even execute a script that will report the attack to you or, for instance, set your firewall rules or whatever. Okay, we're coming to an end. First of all, of course, there's no 100% security, as some people and some big US companies try to sell you, but they fail. Okay, after like 9 or 10 years of development, I do suppose that Apache is quite secure, although you have to admit that, for instance, the Apache 2 got rewritten entirely, so they have new vulnerabilities, but even the default configuration and this does, I do believe, be a feature or be a plus or benefit for 80% in this room and 80% of the admins is quite secure out of the box. I hope that you actually got infected by the way you can even tighten the Apache security and hopefully get your Apache security to another level. And good reads. There are some good books available. It's a good book. It's actually Apache not yet released. As I said, usually I wouldn't recommend another book, but this is really good. It's from Ivan Ristich. It's just called Apache Security. Then you have Maximum Apache Security. Apache Web Server, which was written by Lars Eilebrecht, my opponent in a way when it comes to book writing. He's also at the con, and obviously my book, which was released sometime this year in the second edition. Then you have some online resources that are really good. This is an example, for instance, on how to chroot the Apache and other technologies like MySQL and PHP. This takes an enormous amount of time, but it's a good document, and it's only for Apache 1, but read it. And there are some good Apache benchmarks, and Apache Week is very good because they're going to introduce some new features, or they're going to present you with the stuff that happened in the Apache mailing lists in the last couple of weeks. And obviously, there's modsecurity.org, which is a very good website. I would like to thank the following people for helping me creating this presentation. And I would like to thank you for your long patience and for your attention. Yeah, as I said already, my website is wolfgarten.com/ccc. You can get this presentation as well as the presentation we gave yesterday on Honeypot Forensics, and as well as introductions on how to see a true Apache on Solaris. Okay, people are leaving, but I'm available for questions now. Okay.
Besser ist wahrscheinlich besser. Ja.